You know, I want to thank you. I know we have some guests in the room, and we're so thankful that you're here. But most of us in this room, this is our church. And I want to thank you for the way you give. You know, there's several ways we give here. We have a QR code that you can give online, and that's how our family gives. But we have boxes in the back. And I want to just explain a little bit of our giving. When we give to our church, we have like four big buckets where we give. The first big bucket is our budget, and that's our, hey, thank you, Nathan, let's go right here. And our budget and all, which is the daily operations, how we just do the work of our ministry every week when it comes to student ministry and children's ministry, our missionaries that we support. I leave tomorrow. I'm the vice chairman of the International Mission Board. I get to serve in that capacity this year. And I leave for Richmond tomorrow to deal with the work of our missions, our missionaries. And that's our budget bucket. And that's an important bucket. A second bucket is our next steps. And that's the remodel that we're doing, the buildings that we steward. And oh my goodness, I got to tell you about this week. I was in the room on Friday, our renovation, and Will Gage was there, and Will's a volunteer, helps with all of our tech, is kind of one of the lead guys there, and we're standing there talking to the guys that are installing the sound, and you know, it sounds good. The saws were going, and he was telling me about the echo, and we were standing there, and I'm like, we're just talking, and we can hear well. I can't tell you how thrilled I was on Friday just at that development. But the Next Steps budget deals with those things, and I appreciate your giving to that. A third big bucket that we give to, which you saw today, Brennan, and this transition that we're going through with Matt, the mission center is one of the most important pursuits of our church. It's how we are known in our community with those in need. It's the helping arm of our church to our community. That's a big bucket that we give to. And you know, we have a new bucket that we've been giving to starting this year, which is our endowment. And what that is, it's a bucket for future ministry. And though those that come behind us will be grateful that that was something we started. So giving is an important pursuit, a calling we have, an opportunity we have to make offerings to the Lord. And if you've been reading our Bible reading with us, we're in the book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles. We started 2nd Chronicles today, and we read about how joyfully it is to give offerings to the Lord. So thank you for giving and embracing that opportunity. I want you to know about October 5th. You know, I'm grateful for the high school letting us meet here. I'm also grateful that we're going to go back to our campus on October 5th. I am grateful for that. This has been amazing, but it's time to go back to our campus. Now, I want to tell you about October 5th. When we go back, we're not going to be in our room yet. We are going to go back. We'll be in two services, 9:30 and 11, and we're still going to be disrupted for a while. But this is good. You know Gary Smalley? Have you ever read Gary Smalley? Gary Smalley says that every family ought to camp together, because when you camp together, something crazy, you always have to adjust to something crazy. But when you camp together, that becomes the fun memories that you talk about. It's like we're camping together right now. We're camping together at the PAC, and when we get back on campus, we're going to camp together for one more month, and it's going to be memorable and good. So we can do this, and Brad and our age level staff, our next gen team, they are working feverishly, and man, we're going to make it through this last month of crossing the finish line. So October 6th, we're back on campus. We're talking about it in all of our groups. You'll hear about that. But you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for this disruption, Because getting out of our comfort zone has been good for us. This week, I was at Kava, and I'm not gonna say the guy's name because I think he's in the room today, but I'm sitting there having lunch with Warren Lear, who's our former city manager, and a guy walks up to me and says, "Hey, I just want you to know I appreciate you." I was like, "Oh, thank you. Who are you?" I've never met him. And he goes, "Well," he goes, "I've been coming since we came to the high school." And he goes, "My family and I have been slipping in and coming." And I was like, "Oh my goodness, here's my cell phone number, and let's get together." And we connected. And it just was one of those moments for me. It was good to see that and the disruption that God is at work still, drawing people. And you know, I'm thankful for living at this time in the history of the world. You know that for a little while, I've lamented the times that we live, because I read history and I read about different parts of the church, and I thought, man, there are some historic moments that would have been cool to live through. Like, I read Pilgrim's Progress every year, and John Bunyan was thrown into prison. No one's ever thrown me into prison for preaching. Not yet. But I used to think, man, I'm not gonna have any heavenly campfire moments. You know, like in heaven, when you sit around the campfire and you start talking about all the hard things you did. Nobody sits around a campfire talking about easy things they did. You sit around a campfire talking about hard things you did. Easy things are good when you're doing them. But those are things, not the things you remember. But you know what I've shifted on this? Because you know, when I think about the times that we live, I don't want us to miss something. Do you know that we're living at a Daniel 12:4 time? A 2 Timothy 3:1-5 time? That's not what I'm preaching on today, so you have to read those on your own. But that's a time in the history of the world that describes the last days. In the last days, Daniel 12, there'll be the increase of knowledge in the last days. If you read 2 Timothy 3:1-5, oh my goodness, that describes the world we are in. And so, you know, what I'm coming to recognize is that it is important for us as a church to recognize the times that we live. As a believer, and you know, as followers of Christ, we need to make the most of our days. Psalm 90 says this. All through the scriptures, we talk about, we hear this challenge: make the most of the days, because the days are evil. And you know, the Bible, when you really look at the scriptures, there are three metaphors, three examples that you see consistently all through the scriptures. You see God reminding us to have the mentality of a farmer. 2 Timothy 2 talks about this. It articulates all three of them at once in 2 Timothy 2. But you see this farmer mentality that we are to plant, and it takes time to see the fruit of your planting. There's another analogy you see over and over again in Scripture, and it's the athlete. That you need to be an athlete. You need to have run in such a way, Hebrews 12, run to win the prize. 1 Timothy 2, we are an athlete. Paul talks about often in Scripture that you train yourself like an athlete. But there's a third metaphor, a third analogy, a third comparison, a soldier. A soldier. 2 Timothy 2 talks about this. All through the scriptures, we're to have we're described in our walk with the Lord of being a soldier. And this is an important metaphor. And in fact, and I've been just wrestling with and trying to put God's word into practice in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, where Paul is talking to Timothy, he articulates these three metaphors, and he says this: think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. That's pretty important to notice. Now, this morning, I want you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I pray that as we think through this metaphor, this example, this calling, this very clear description of the spiritual battle, that God prepares us to have this, to think through. What is it, what it means to be a soldier, to be in the battle. Ephesians 6 is an opportunity for understanding. So stand with me and let's dig into this passage. And you know, this is an important time to refocus. As we're in this disruption, as we're in this time that is challenging, we're out of our comfort zone. It's good to refocus on what Jesus reveals, what God reveals about himself and about his word. In Ephesians 6, we're going to look at 10 through 13, but stay there because we're going to comb through this section of scripture. He says in verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, as we refocus, I want us to recognize that our mission, God's put us here to know God, know him. We're to know him. You know the greatest opportunity you and I have is to know God. Not just know about him, but know him, to walk with him, to hear him, to interact with him. We live at the time in the history of the world that the Holy Spirit is at work. And you got to understand what the Holy Spirit is. It's not like Star Wars. And there's this weird force out there that the Holy Spirit is a person. It's the third person of the Trinity. That's a lot to wrap your head around, but that's the revelation of God. And you know, we have to be aware that we are in a spiritual battle. And often people are not aware of the stakes. Often we as believers are not aware that there is a battle raging. And do you realize that that is dangerous? It is dangerous for us not to raise our children. I'm glad our children are in this room today. Because it is dangerous for us not to help our children recognize that there is an enemy, a spiritual battle raging constantly. And Jesus taught us to be mindful of this battle. He taught us to not only just be mindful, not only just to be aware, but he taught us very clearly tells us, take our stand against it. And let's look at this passage. Look back at it. Finally, he says, be strong in the Lord, not in you. And one of the things that we had a two-day staff thing today, this past week, and we had a time of repentance. And one of the things I prayed for, Lord, forgive me for using my own power, coming, like trying to do ministry in my own power. Notice this, be strong, not in you, but in the Lord. And in the strength of not your might, but his might. You realize that's available, right? The might, the power of God is what we need. And then he says, put on, notice our responsibility here, put on the whole armor of God. There are times in my life I've engaged in a spiritual battle without the right armor. I wasn't wearing the right clothes. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Let's just think about this for a second. The devil has schemes against us. The devil comes against us. Satan has a network. We see it right here. This is one of those parts of scripture where God opens the window into the spiritual world and lets us recognize that there are schemes against us. And then he writes very clearly, For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't fight each other. We don't fight human enemies. Our battle is not physical, it's the deepest battle. The toughest battle is not physical, it's spiritual. And we're not each other's enemy. A lost world's not our enemy. That's our mission field. You know, we're in a country where we're vilifying each other. Look, our enemy is not flesh and blood. Notice this. But it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Folks, we are in a world that is stuck in darkness. But see, what we have done, we live in the light because Christ has helped us see the light, see him, see our need of forgiveness. And notice this. And against the spiritual of evil in the heavenly places. You see, the spiritual world and the physical world are both at play right now. Verse 13, therefore, because this is true, because this is something God has revealed, because this is very important for us to think through, because Paul said to Timothy, think about this analogy of a soldier, because the Lord will teach you everything. Let's let the Bible stand. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, not just part of it, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And this struck me. Having done all to stand firm. Do you know what this helps me recognize? That, hey, look, there's going to be some challenges. There's going to be times that we are going to have to do everything we can just to stand. And now, if you're taking notes, first point is this. I think it's just clearly revealed here that God intends for us to see the physical and the spiritual world. That God intends for us to recognize this. And if you really pay attention to Jesus, you see this. I've written down a bunch. I can't go into all of these that I've written on my notes here just because of time. But Jesus was aware of this all the time. If you read through the Gospels, there's so many moments that he was clearly aware that this is a spiritual battle. He said to the disciples when they couldn't cast out a demon, he said, you know, some things only you can only do through prayer and fasting. And Jesus was constantly aware of like there was the man with the unclean spirit in the synagogue in Capernaum in Mark 1 in Luke 4. This demon answered him, oh, Jesus, you've come to destroy us. And that was an incredible moment. And Jesus, what he did there, he said, shut your mouth. He commanded him to be silent. And see, the spiritual battle was Jesus was aware of it and commanded that demon to be silent. See, we often don't understand the spiritual battle. Some of our Christian brothers are like, oh, Jesus is down. No, Jesus says, shut your mouth. And they go, okay. That's what they do. And you see this over and over again. Legion, Jesus ran into Legion. And that was a famous story in Matthew 8, Mark 5, Luke 8. And he was pleading. Legion means many. There were all these demons. They were pleading. Oh, Jesus. Oh, they were scared. They were scared of him. This is important revelation. And that's when Jesus threw them into pigs. Think about that the next time you have bacon. Then, you know, when you think about Mary Magdalene. Just think about this woman. No wonder she was one of the ladies that never left Jesus. When all the disciples ran, Peter ran. Every disciple but John ran. and Mary Magdalene. She didn't run. I'll tell you what. I want to be the kind of pastor that never runs. Never runs. Let's be the kind of believers that never run. Mary never ran. She had seven demons in her. Luke 8, Mark 16. She had total liberation from Jesus. You see, it's fascinating as you think about Christ, he was always aware of the spiritual world. And then you see my favorite, Matthew 4, Luke 4, Jesus encountering Satan himself. Let's just understand, let's state the obvious. Satan is not like God. He's not omnipresent. That means he's not everywhere at all times. Satan is a limited being, can be in one place at one time. So I would argue I've probably never had to encounter him. I would guess that there are many greater threats than Chris Wall to Satan. But we've definitely are encountering his network. And Jesus faced Satan himself. And I loved that encounter in Matthew 4, Luke 4. And what you see there, and I don't have time to go into it, but Satan submits to Jesus every time. And this is the battle. But what do these encounters show us about taking a stand? If you're taking notes, power over evil is normal and expected. It's normal and expected to have power over evil. Let's think about this. Jesus has ultimate authority, absolute authority over demonic voices. Acts 19, one of my favorite parts of scripture when they're in Ephesus, and we're gonna go there on a trip. Oh my goodness, I would love for you to go on this trip that we're gonna go in June. But we're going to be in Ephesus. And in Ephesus, that's when the seven sons of Sceva were there. And it's so fascinating in Acts 19 when that demon answered those boys that were casting demons out who didn't know Christ, and they were just messing around. And that demon said, "Jesus, I know. I've heard about Paul, but who are you?" And then he beat them all up. They ran out naked and bleeding. And, you know, you see there. You know what I pray about the demonic forces in this city? That they go, "Man, I know about that group that's doing that whole mission thing. I know about them." But let's recognize, we sang about it all day, this is a victory that we've already won. That this is the spiritual battle has already been won. We must not forget this as we are in the toil and the struggle of the world. And sometimes the world is toil and trouble, but Jesus' power, it extends beyond the physical. It's spiritual power, and Jesus empowers those who follow him. And I was thinking about Colossians 2:15 this week and just thinking through it as I face spiritual battles in my own life, and I have felt that this week, that Colossians 2:15 says, "He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." That what Jesus does with this in the spiritual battle, he completely disarms Satan. And that's an incredible revelation. But power comes in several ways. Number one is when you're born again. My wife is teaching me about candles. We have a candle when we have dinner, because one of the things we found that we linger longer at the table. It's some study she read about somewhere. I like her, so I just do what she says. I said, "Light whatever you want." But I've been thinking about that in our prayers. When I pray, it's good to, hey, this is an offering to God. But a white candle, when you're born again, you have that's the only way to have power over Christ is to be saved. to be born again, to have the Holy Spirit in your life. The indwelling Holy Spirit is in you. He saved you. Do you realize that a Christian can never be indwelled by Satan, possessed by Satan? Because the Holy Spirit's in our lives. He has no power over us because Christ washed our sins away. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who's a deposit that guarantees your inheritance. And when you know Christ as yours, when you're born again, you are, John 3 talks about this. 1 Peter 1 talks about the miracle of being born again. And let's think about being born again. Have you been born again? You know, the Sermon on the Mount has moved us to evaluate, is Christ in our lives? Do we know him? Power comes when you're born again. Power comes. Do you know when? Power comes when then you're not only born again, but then you begin to use the resources that God provides for you. And what are those resources? What are the resources that God provides? Well, if you're following along in your notes, you can read those. Because I've written a bunch of notes if you're on the app. But let's just look at the scriptures. Let's just look at the scriptures. The resources that God provides. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Do you know that being biblical, letting God's word shape our thinking. God's word really does provide the wisdom to navigate life. We are standing on the word of God as a truth. We're putting it into practice, living rightly. Verse 15, and then as your shoes for your feet, having put on readiness given by the gospel of peace. You see, the gospel gives us peace. We are spirit-led. The Spirit of God leads us, and God's power is on display in us. And then, when the Spirit of God works, we come together unified. We're not always unanimous, but do you know what we are? We are a unified body walking together, using our gifts to serve the Lord together. Look at verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And as I think about the calling we have together in passing on our faith from generation to generation. It goes on. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That God's given us armor. He's given us a sword. And this is why we gather together, and I don't get up and do a TED talk. That's why we don't gather in groups and just play games. We gather around what God's word says. And notice this, verse 18. In praying at all times, in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Can I say something? I'm praying for our church, that we learn to pray. We're a church that learns to pray. You know, as I think about our prayer guide, we have a prayer guide, and there's a link to it. It's on our app. And in that are things to pray for that comes out every week. You could sign up. It goes out every Wednesday. But our staff did this week. We got together and we took some time to say, God, we're gonna praise you. It's a good praying in the Spirit. What does that look like? I'm gonna burn my finger. What does it look like? Praise. God, there's so many ways to praise the Lord. We've done a good job of praising the Lord by singing truth today. Praising the Lord and turning our face to him. Praise. Then Then an important thing in your prayer life, praying in the Spirit moves us to praise the Lord. But it also moves us to repent. That P-R-A-Y, think about it, praise. Repentance. If you want to pray in the Spirit, learn to pray, you get right before the Lord. That's something I need to do every day in my life. Repent. Our staff got together this week. We had a time of repentance, getting right with Him. And then green, good candle for asking. There's a lot of requests we have. And our prayer guide is full of requests, things to pray for. You know what I pray that you do? You look at it, download it. You then go and pray with us as a church for those in our congregation that have needs. And you know, God hears your prayers. God leads us to pray, but not just, you don't just praying in the Spirit on all occasions. All occasions, good times, bad times. I love the song Christian has taught us, in deserts and gardens. Times of plenty, times of need. We learn to pray in the Spirit. Pray listening to the Spirit. But you know what? This yellow candle, I love this yellow candle because it causes me to stop and think. P, praise, important part of your prayer life, praying in the Spirit. Repentance, R, learning to get right with the Lord, asking for things. Lord, help us. Our needs are great. But then yielding. Why? Yield. How often we need to, in our prayers, not just talk, but listen. Listen to God. Listen to what He's saying. And see, this is part of our prayer. As we think about the armor, as we think about the spiritual battle, He ends, and let's look at it again. And pray. At all times, in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. And so as we end today, I pray that this helps us refocus. Refocus on God's power that's available to you, to me. As we open our eye to the spiritual battle that we're in, that we put on the armor of God, that we think deeply about this example, this calling, this responsibility that we have, that we are in a battle. But let's think about this battle. We're fighting a battle that's already been won. And so I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what, if you're in a desert or if you're in a garden. But can I tell you something? Prayer. The armor of God is something we desperately need. So, two things, just to recap. Have you been born again? That's where it starts. You come to Jesus. I know we got an extra stage thing here. I keep walking in the dark here. So I'm going to stay in the light. It's good, isn't it? That's deep. But oh, have you been born again? Our staff's going to be as down front as they can be today. And we're going to sing about this battle. And if you've not been born again, we're down front. Those of you that have, you're like, okay, Chris, I've been born again. Are you putting on all of this armor? Would you bow your head where you are? Father, we bow before You. And as we sing this song and just take a second to yield to You, to pause and to think, Father, Your word has spoken today clearly. as I think about our country right now in this time of tension and separation and anger and call to arms that we hear on all sides of our social, political, spiritual worlds, spiritual aisles, if you will. And Father, I thank you for allowing us to live at this time in the history of the world. Lord, I pray you'd forgive me for looking at other times in history and not looking at this time. So Lord, I repent of that and turn away from that, and I pray that I'm a pastor of this church that faithfully takes a stand with this body against every scheme of the devil. Thank you for this season of challenge, of work, of your spirit moving, leading. Father, would you draw our hearts right now? As we sing this song, would you draw maybe somebody to be born again today? Would every one of us who know you as Savior, this week, this day, walk with every piece of this armor? We love you, Jesus. In your name, amen.